All right. Good morning, all. It's really great to be here today. We are kickstarting a brand new series called Marketplace Monster. And, all right. So today, if we kickstart this series, one of the key verses of this series is this verse called, whatever you do, do work with it with all your heart. Say all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Why this Marketplace series? Because we believe that one third of our lives or even more are spent in the marketplace. Now, in Bible history, marketplace simply means it's a place whereby commerce and trade is being transacted, but it goes beyond business. It is also a social place for people to exchange information, for people to kind of just catch up with one another. So marketplace series, that marketplace monster, this series that we are embarking on, it's yes, we are talking about the workplace. Yes, we are talking about whether you're in business, whether you're working in a company, whether you're a freelancer. Yes, we kind of talk a little bit more focused on that sphere, but it also applies to our social life. It also applies to what if you're a student, it applies to your school, your colleges, it applies to your community where you meet your neighbors, where you have social as well as business interaction. And I believe that this series is for each and every one of us because Christian faith is not just on Sunday, right? Christian faith applies to every single day of our lives. And that's the reason why we do this series. Now, this verse helps me process through when I was graduated. I work in a consulting firm. I was working with a church for a while. I went to my ministry studies in Manila. As I transit in different seasons of my life, this verse helps me to process that, hey, it is not what do we do, but it is our heart when we do what we do. I have been a bivocational pastor. I work outside maybe more than 20 years. I work in my early years of my career. I work as in a consulting firm. I work as a finance analyst. And right now, I work in sales management in an asset management company besides pastoring his church. So this verse speaks to me because yes, in our workplace, in our business, we have bosses, managers, supervisors, shareholders that we need to report to. But it says, ultimately, our ultimate master, we are working for the Lord. So whatever you do, whether it's at home, in church, at work, in school, work for the Lord. It's our heart. Okay. The second verse, Proverbs 4. Can we read this together? 1, 2, go. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And this verse explains the title of our message today, Marketplace Monster. It says, guard your heart. Everything flows out from there. If our heart is toxic, polluted, guess what? If the input is polluted, then the output will be polluted as well. Right? We thought about our water reservoir. Every time there is a pollution, the water supply has to be shut down. Why? Because the source is polluted. The source is toxic. In the same way, it says that our heart is the source. If our heart is toxic, if our heart is evil, then whatever we do, the output, the outflow will be toxic as well. Okay, and this series, as we kickstart, I'm going to kickstart with this topic about toxic comparison in our lives. And next couple of weeks, we'll talk about fear as well as we talk about greed. And these three marketplace monster, which is the inner battle that we wrestle with in our hearts, we felt that it is three key monsters, three key evil that we need to battle within. As we talk about toxic comparison, it is very natural. I don't know about you, but I myself constantly find myself going into the direction of comparison. And I thought back, it all started when I was young, right? In school, when I begin to compare, when I begin to look to my left, look to my right, I begin to realize there is a certain way to dress and certain way not to dress. I begin to realize as I compare that there are people whose grades are lower than mine and there are people whose grades are higher than mine. And as I grow older, I didn't grow out of this comparison trap. The things that I look at, the things that I compare might change, but the comparison trap is still there. As I started working, we look around, right? We look around who has a better starting pay, We look around who has a better job. We look around who has, who gets a job the earliest, who gets promoted the earliest. We look around who has a new car. We look around at all of this. I know I'm the only one struggling with this. None of us, okay? Every Nation Church, people, very godly one, don't struggle with comparison, right? We all struggle that, right? Now social media has even make it even magnified, right? We are able to see who is traveling to better places, who is eating in nicer restaurants and all that. And we fall into this comparison trap. As we grow, when we get into relationship, when we get married, we don't stop there as well, right? We begin to compare our boyfriend or our husband with other people's boyfriends and other people's husbands. We begin to compare with our girlfriend and our wives with other people's wives and girlfriends. When kids come along, we begin to compare, right? Our kids with our neighbor's kids. We begin to compare our kids with our siblings' kids. It's never end. And it's ugly. It is a monster that we need to confront and we need to overcome. Toxic comparison is a trap. It never ends. It is exhausting and it is tiring. Isn't it tiring to compare and to look left and to look right? And if we compare with someone we think that is doing better, we get discouraged, we get distressed. And then we choose someone who we think that is not doing well so that we compare, so that we feel good about ourselves. So that we have this false sense of pride. And it is something that is ugly. And as Christians, leaders, and even pastors, we are not spared from these ugly monsters. As a pastor, if we are not careful, we allow this comparison trap to eat us. Oh, that church down the road is growing faster. That church down the road has better facility. That church down the road has a great musician and all that. None of us are spared from this comparison trap. And the root of this comparison is really this word called envy. Say the word envy. The Greek word is called pythonos. And this word envy, it's so subtle that it is so wicked. You see, envy is not just wanting what other people has. It is hating and resenting that person for having that. Okay, that's how evil and destructive envy is. It doesn't just want what other people have, but it hates that person. It resents that person for having it. And you know you have envy when you have difficulties celebrating other people's successes. You're so quick to point out when somebody else is doing better. You're very quick to point out the person's flaw. And someone may say, hey, you know, his company is doing well and you guys are in the same industry. The company over the last 3 years has such CAGR growth, has such growth rate of their revenue and sales. And you say, yeah, but that's because he has one big client that's supporting him. You're not able to celebrate the person's success. Well, that guy, the colleague of yours, he worked less years than you in a company and he got promoted. So good. Yeah, because that's because he sucked up to the boss. No, we are not able to celebrate a person's success and we are quick to point out that flaw or the person's negative. And if we do that, maybe we have allowed the monster of envy to overcome us. And you know you have envy when you feel good about other people's failure. Isn't that evil? Isn't that ugly? Right, you're in a sales team. I lead, about 40 salespeople, and sometimes certain people they achieve their target, they are very happy, and they secretly wish that their colleagues do not hit their target. Because why? Because we are not able. We get secretly happy when we see other people fail. Or your kids are not doing so well in school. That ugly monster of envy starts to come out. It is an ill will, evil attitude that leads to division, strife. James 3:16, okay, not John 3:16, but James 3:16. He says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. And I thought about, as I was preparing this message, I thought about this verse. And I thought about James, who is the younger brother of Jesus. And I thought, growing up, how much potentially he had to struggle with envy growing up as a younger brother of Jesus. Can you imagine? The mother says, James, why don't you be like Jesus, your brother, who is perfect, who is not just seemingly perfect, but he is perfect, right? I can imagine James as a younger brother growing up, sitting in a dinner table, and then the mother say, James, can you, maybe not James pray, but let Jesus pray. Because when Jesus pray, our food multiplies, right? Jesus, thank you for multiplying the food. Thank you for turning water into wine. James, what do? You just spend our money. I can imagine James growing up struggling with this thing called envy. It's just my, you know, sometimes you have to kind of just imagine to make your Bible reading more exciting, interesting, right? So James 3:16 say, when you have envy and selfish ambition, it says there, right there in that relationship, right there in that situation, you will find disorder and every evil practices. Think about maybe in your family, among siblings, among relatives. If you allow envy to come up in that relationship, guess what? There in that relationship, you will find disorder. You will not be able to see eye to eye. You will not be able to celebrate their successes. Every time Chinese New Year reunion, you kind of just want to avoid that conversation. Every time when there is envy, you will find disorder and evil practices. If we apply this to our workplace, to our business marketplace, to our offices, every time when there's envy, there is disorder, right? People begin to gossip. You begin to try to push yourself to be ahead in the office. You begin to speak bad about one another. You begin to, you know, do all these things. Why? Because you have allowed envy. So when envy exists in your office situation, between you and your colleagues, between you and your peers, between you and your manager or your subordinate, you will find evil practice and disorder. And that's the monster of envy that we have to battle with. If I quickly move on, Romans 1:8, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy. Interestingly, Paul put envy and murder in the same sentence. Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. I thought about the story of Cain and Abel. Right? Cain was so envious of the brother because God looked favorably at his offering. Instead of doing something about himself and his heart, he allowed envy and jealousy to drive him to murder his brother. Maybe Paul had that in mind when he was writing this. I thought about the Old Testament story of King Saul and David, right? King Saul was this king and David was rising up. This young leader was rising up and he felt threatened. And this applies to our situation as well, right? In church, in business place, in our office, when we see a new guy coming along, maybe he's better, you know, can speak better, eloquent, more well-exposed, and we get threatened. Saul was feeling threatened when David came along, and after they won victory in the war, when they came back, right, the ladies in the street, they were singing, Saul slain 1,000, but David slain tens of thousands. I can imagine the envy that rise up within Saul that leads him to wanting to kill David. We can only imagine if Saul has been secure and allowed David to rise up. And David was a loyal soldier. Allowed David to rise up and partner together. What one can only imagine the positive impact they had to that nation. What does envy does to us? What does toxic comparison does to us? Number one, it robs our joy. It robs our joy. You know, I have 4 children, and when my elder two is only 18 months in their gap, right? And as they're growing up, when they were 2, 3, 4 years old, sometimes I would like to, you know, disturb them, kacau them, right? And see how they react. And I'll give this person candy, okay? I give this person, you know, this candy. And then, you know, they look at it, they were happy, and I gave the other person a big one. And immediately this person no longer is happy with his candy because he wanted the big one, the big candy, right? Of course, as a father, I eventually give both equal, I'm not so bad. But envy robs our joy. I like this verse, Proverbs 14. It says, a heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bone. Wow, that's strong words. Envy rots our bones. No wonder we cannot, no wonder we are not, we don't have joy. Comparison, Theodore Roosevelt, ex-president of the United States, one of the president of the United States says, comparison is the thief of joy. We are always discontented. Instead of looking at what we have, we look at what we do not have, right? That's what envy, it focuses on what we do not have instead of focuses on what we had. We are always looking at the lack. We are always comparing. We are always wishing that we're a little bit smarter. We wish we are a little bit taller. We wish we are a little bit prettier. We wish we are a little bit richer. We wish that we are a little bit... We are always comparing, always wishing. That robs our joy. Number two, envy. It leads us to make bad decisions. King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote this. He says, I saw that all the toil and all the achievement, right? All the labor, all the strife that springs from one person's envy of another, it is meaningless. King Solomon concluded, it is chasing after a wind. And it's so true today. Some of us here are in serious financial debt because we have allowed envy, the comparison trap that leads us to make bad financial decisions. That we wanted to keep up with a certain lifestyle, we wanted to travel a certain way, we wanted to eat a certain way, we want our kids to study in a certain school, we want to keep up to a certain lifestyle, and that leads us to bad financial decisions. And that's the reason why we are in financial debt. Sometimes we have to pause and think, why am I doing this? Why am I thinking this? Why do I want this? Why do I want that? Why do I want this for my family? Why do I want this in my workplace? Why do I want to do this for my business? Is it because it is good? Or is it because every other businesses is doing that? Therefore, I want to do that as well because I'm comparing and I don't want to lose out. And it leads us to make bad financial decisions, whether it's personally or corporately as well. Thirdly, it ruins relationships. The Bible has so much to speak about envy and comparison. It says, Galatians, it says, let us not become conceited. What is conceited? Boastful. Provoking and envying each other. You know, comparison trap has twofold, right? And sometimes we compare with people which we think are not doing better so that we can have that false sense of pride, that arrogance that, oh, I'm doing better. My kids is doing better. My ministry is doing better. My career is doing better. But when we bring envy, guess what? It ruins the relationship. It ruins the relationship. As adults, we are smart. We don't say it directly, but we will say indirectly. Right? We will say indirectly. We will say, honey, isn't it nice if our family can, you know, go to this place? Look at this. Hey, look at so-and-so is going here. Isn't it nice? You know, we are smart. You know, we say it indirectly. And we say that I wish my husband could be more this and more that. And I wish my wife could be more this and more that. And we do that. And guess what? It ruins the relationship. It provokes that relationship. You're provoking your husband. You're provoking your wife. And you're provoking your child, your kids, when you begin to compare them. Why can't you be more athletic like that guy? Why can't you be smarter like that guy? Why can't you be more sociable like that guy? And you're comparing three different persons' strength to your one poor child. And you're provoking, right? And it ruins that relationship. And it says, let us not become conceited. Let us not stumble each other by putting on a front to others. In social media, we compare to different ones when they post their story, when they post their post, they are posting their highlight of their life. And you're comparing your daily life to the highlights of their life. No wonder we provoke each other, we provoke ourselves. I know I'm the only one struggling with this. None of you, okay, struggle with this. But what do? As we battle these monsters in our hearts. First Peter, he says, get rid yourself of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Get rid of it. aggressively uproot it. Like any sin, we need to uproot. Like any sin, we need to repent. We don't invite envy and let it stay. And let it say, okay, it's okay, I will manage it. No, we must confront it, uproot it, this monster of envy. And it's, you know, like now, if you go to arcades, you know, sometimes when we bring our kids to shopping mall and they visit arcades, and they have this little game whereby, you know, that you have a rubber hammer, and then when the thing pops up, you're supposed to hit it down. Have you guys know that game? Yeah. It's like that. Every time you feel envy begin to rise up, get rid of it. Destroy it. Every time when we see somebody else being successful at work, your competitor getting ahead, envy begin to rise up. Guess what? Pop it down. Every time your family, your siblings, children, your neighbor's children did something, score an A and achieve something, and you are not able to celebrate that success and you feel the monster of envy coming up, guess what? Get rid of it. And say, I will not allow the evil monster of envy to overcome me. And what do? We look to God. Instead of envy, instead of comparison, we say contentment. Okay, I'm not talking about it's a license to not do anything and not try to strive to do our best. No, it's nothing to do with that. We should do our best as per our first scripture, right? In whatever we do, do our best as if working for God. Now, I'm not talking about not wanting to grow and just, no. I'm talking about toxic comparison. Comparison looks at what we do not have. Contentment looks at what we have. And what we have, we begin to ask God, God, what do you want me to do with what I have? We keep our eyes off what we do not have, but we look at, God, this is what you have entrusted me. These are my influence, my resource, my position, my resources, my relationships, my networks. What can I do with it? Contentment looks at what we have. Comparison brings strife. Contentment brings peace. And I think there is one verse in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain. And today, even as I invite all of us to stand to our feet, allow me to pray for us. Go ahead and stand to your feet. And I want us to close our eyes. Let's close our eyes and to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. And some of us, we may be struggling with envy more than the other. We're always discontented with what we have, with what we do not have. You're always discontented with your spouse, with your kids, with your life. You have allowed the monster of comparison and envy to rise up. We can close our eyes. It is time to come before God and say, God, would you work in my heart? God, I want the contentment that you have. I do not want strife. I want peace. I do not want to look at what I do not have. I want to look at what you have given me. Let's just close our eyes. I'm just going to give us 10, 15 seconds for you to speak to God, for you to come before God and say, God, would you uproot the monster of envy and toxic comparison in my life? God, I come before you. I ask for your forgiveness. If I have been discontented, if I have been blaming you, if I have been blaming the people around me, if I have been provoking the people around me, if I have allowed envy to rob my joy, God, I come before you. I ask for your forgiveness, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will replace in me your spirit that brings about peace and contentment, Lord, because we do not want to allow this monster of toxic comparison rule in our heart. Because today, Lord, we are guarding our hearts, Lord. We are guarding our hearts so that what comes out of our hearts, what comes out of our mouth and our thoughts and our lifestyle and our work ethics and our behavior and our character, Lord, we want it to reflect the Holy Spirit. We want to reflect you, the fruit of the Spirit, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say, amen, amen. Amen.